Good air quality.
I feel like I smoked a pack of Marlboros.
Marlboros?
Marlboros.
Marlboros?
Marlboros.
Thanksgiving.
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 When
the people that you know don't like you. When your treasured friendships and
friendships tune into this podcast.
Or not.
Where your artificial friends,
blah, blah.
Friendships?
Yeah, friendships. Thanksgiving.
It's
and Josh, you butchered the words, too. You said when.
Did I?
Yeah, whatever. Oh my God. Doesn't matter.
I'm about to drop something.
Nobody listens anyway.
My utility bill is about to drop with a...
With your harmonica holder.
Harmonica holder. Don't ask. I've got a menagerie in here. Sorry, I live in squalor. Got to finish that shed. Can't wait to get out in that great air quality today to work on that shed. It's going to be fantastic.
How you doing?
Okay.
It's been a week, huh?
Yeah, it really has. And you know, we are... joking about our situation, but good God, people have died in California because of these wildfires. A whole town, a paradise, poorly named, it's gone. It's just gone. It's wiped off the map. And all the people in West Hills and Westlake Village and Malibu and all of that over there, they're suffering so much because of this.
And a thousand oaks. That's just another terrible mark on our country again. And God, can you imagine being one of those parents right now? And you, not only are you planning a funeral, but your house might be burning down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what's next?
At that point in time, you're like, what's next? What other hell can this world put me through?
Yeah. I mean, and the cycle of everything going on with that, the people that were involved in the Las Vegas thing and then involved in that business out in Thousand Oaks, and now the fires on top of it. It's like plagues are being sent.
And not to lighten the situation, because you certainly shouldn't lighten it, but if there's ever a need for a beer episode.
You know what? Break them up.
I mean, we don't have to smile and enjoy these beers, but sure, I need one. So what do you want to do? I got two of them.
What are my choices?
Well, one of them, I have no idea.
I'll take that tall one there with the gold top.
This is the one. This is a holiday one.
Oh.
So I figured let's brighten
Samuel
it up.
Samuel Smith's Summer Winter Ale or Winter Ale.
Let's brighten it up. Let's kick off the holiday season.
This is official. Fantastic.
I'm ringing the bell. Holidays started. Doesn't mean it's Christmas time, but the holiday season started.
Can't wait to get in. Oh.
When do you put the tree up?
Glug, glug.
When do you put your Christmas tree up?
This afternoon. No.
No.
We do it the first weekend of, because we went back to doing a real tree, because I talked Laura out of that living tree crap.
It's a tree.
It's a fortune, and it invades our ecosystem.
Right.
And they mulch those trees now. You know, they'll come by and take your tree, and they'll mulch it. And so, it's not a big environmental waste. So we put it up the first Saturday or Sunday of December.
But seeing how you guys are super conscious about that, wouldn't a fake tree be the way to go?
That's more plastic in the world.
Yeah, but it's plastic that you'll use for every year for like the next 20 years.
Hold on. I got to make a phone call.
Should we start? Okay. Ringing.
Ringing.
Andrew.
Is that who I think it is?
It is the RG.
Well, I don't have to tell either one of you boys that I'm sitting here wearing a diaper and a really, really soft pillow after that ass reaming I took the other night.
I would like to offer our apologies on behalf of Western Pennsylvania on the distress and discomfort that... our Pittsburgh Steelers brought upon your family.
Before you go any further, let me, for the uninitiated, imagine anyone who doesn't know that they're listening to your artificial friends. This is Josh Fligger over here. I'm Andy Chanley. Sam Farmer and Larry Morgan are off on assignment. And the gentleman joining us on the telephone right now is none other than the radio god.
The radio god.
Mark Lamar Thompson.
Well, Josh, I have to tell you, I think that, well, first of all, let me just say congratulations. I've never taken the Steelers lightly, especially when number 7 is on the field. That guy...
What was the score?
52 21.
God. I mean,
it was 52, I think, when they took him out at the beginning of the fourth quarter. when they took the big kids out of the game and let the little kids play a little bit.
Oh, God. You know what? It was the kind of game where I'm fairly positive that there was a section of fans of Pittsburgh that were uncomfortable with the beatdown.
Yeah, me. I was thinking of you, and I'm like, you know what? I'm watching this game, and I go, I've been on the other side of this football game before. I know. I mean, this is just a terrible feeling. And the way the game started... I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be a long night.
It was for people that don't know. You're talking about the Carolina Panthers and the Steelers on Thursday, and it began with a score immediately.
Oh, it was like a 5-minute, 75-yard jam the ball right down our throat. We didn't have a chance, touchdown, and I was like, holy shit.
And then going the other way, it was 11 seconds for a score.
Yep.
And I actually walked out of the room and I came back in, you know, doing stuff with the kids, getting them ready for bed and all that, or dinner time. And I came back in and I saw your kicker kicking another extra point, and I'm like, why are they re-showing that? No, it was just a minute later. There was another score.
Yeah, like 2 seconds later.
Well, I mean, we, as you just said, we drove the field, and it looked good. And then, so it's 7-0. In the next two plays, it was 14-7. And my plan, because I'm on the East Coast and the game doesn't start till 8:20 for me, and I'm old, I go to bed early, my plan was to watch the first half, and then the next morning the NFL Network repeats the game, and I was going to watch the second half. There was no need, because before we went upstairs, it was over. It was just... And I will tell you that something happened that doesn't happen. I've got a linebacker, his name is Luke Kuechly, and Luke is an absolute monster on the field, but he doesn't speak. He hates it when he's introduced at the beginning of a game and the whole stadium's yelling Luke. He hates the spotlight. He just likes to tear heads off. So the other night after the game, after the game, they're in the locker room, and of course in a loss like that, the only person who speaks is the head coach, Ron Rivera. And Rivera finished saying what he said, and then Luke, this has never happened, Luke said, I want to address the team. And he said, it's Thursday night. We don't have to report until Tuesday of next week. This is precious time off, and I want every one of you to go back and look at what we just did or what we didn't do. And instead of showing up on Tuesday and just putting on your pads, you better be ready, because we're not out of this. We're 6-3. We've got a lot of football left, and I'm never going to go through what I just went through. Yeah. So show up ready to play. And that was at least something, because...
And those Thursday games can be a little fluky sometimes, because everybody's on a short week, and you almost sometimes don't get the sense this is really how these two football teams are.
For everybody But I was just going to say really quick to reset things. For everybody that's listening, we've got Mark Thompson on the phone, and we're trying to drive out even the most stalwart Mark Thompson fans with Panthers minutia. You were going to say, Mark.
Well, you know, look, I don't mind. As a fan, winning is easy. You know, the losses are tough, and I don't mind losing to a great team like the Steelers with a score of, you know, 27-24. But 52-21? Jesus Christ.
You know what, though? You know what, though?
That's the most points they've ever scored in Heinz Field, by the way.
A couple of things.
Good Lord.
You're welcome. Ever. So a couple of things about that, though. You know, I have a different opinion about... shit like that. Like, you know, in fantasy football, it's, you know, it's a different thing, but kind of the same. And I would rather lose the league spectacularly and be the beer bitch and, you know, just have my name changed and all sorts of the awful things that come along with that. I would rather have that than come in the middle of the pack. So in this kind of thing, I would rather, if I'm going to lose by 1 point, I'll tear myself up even more than I would have lost by 30 points. So,
but it also depends on who you lose to.
Well, you know that.
What I mean? Like this is not a divisional or conference game, so it's not like these two teams have this big rivalry. Now, if Pittsburgh would have lost this way to New England, I'd be swinging from the rafters. If New England came into Pittsburgh and put 52 up against us, I'd just be like, why do I do this to myself? You'd see me in the corner punching myself in the face.
Well, but here's the other thing, and Mark, you just said it. That team, what we watched on Thursday night could very well be a preview of the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I hope it doesn't turn out that way. Yeah. But but no, the Panthers are for real.
Right.
You have the tools. It's just,
every team has a fluky game like that in the season. So it's like,
well, you know what? After the game, Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Panthers, gave a press conference, of course, and the very first question is, how do you process what just happened? And his quote was, shit happened.
Throw your game plan in the garbage and never do that again and start over.
Well, I have to tell you, you can imagine. I mean, what Andy just said, we were looking good at 6-2. We went into Philly and we beat the Eagles in Philly. Mm-hmm. We had some really good come from behind games, and we actually had the swagger that we once had back in 2015. And people now, after that Thursday night debacle, people here in Charlotte are walking around shell-shocked. We don't know what happened.
I just picture you walking around your pool muttering to yourself.
I don't know what could go wrong. 11? We were right there.
It was just 11
seconds.
You know,
I have to tell you, I am looking forward, very forward, to seeing, you know, how we respond, because the old adage is, everybody gets knocked down, it's how you get up. And so I really do, we have to travel into Detroit the next Sunday for a pretty good Lions team. So I want to see how we respond, what we do. But Josh, to your credit, and again, I've never taken the Steelers lightly. You can't, not with the talent that they've got. So now, I think in the AFC, and I don't mean to make this a foot, we'll get off this, but you seriously now have to look at, for the AFC, obviously the Patriots, obviously the Chiefs, and now the Steelers. You have to, because look at where you came from. You opened up the year with a tie against the
Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're wondering what's going on. You have climbed into the favorites of the AFC. And then the NFC, I think you got to look at the Saints, who are just playing lights out right now. And the Rams are by no means done.
Yeah, no, no. The Rams are still – I think the Rams and the Saints are still the two best teams. I think you could play that game again, and I think the Rams might win the next time.
Well,
you
know what I mean? But get this. Here's my future. This is the NFC South. So week 14 – we have to play the Saints in New Orleans, and week 16 or 17, we have to play them again here in Charlotte. So I'm fucked.
No, that's good, because if you win those two games, then you can get that swing. That's a two-game swing with a tiebreaker.
Yeah, Josh, are you smoking the pot?
I'm sorry. 52 points. I'm sorry.
Well, as Andy keeps doing, we can remind everybody that, and I said it then, and I still say it, even though it ended miserably, we three, myself, Andy, Gina Grad, Josh was a friend of the show and was in there constantly, Katie, Jackie, Mikey, we had the very best time. And how
was the best.
It could have been that great and that good of a show, how it could end like it ended is hope. But I will always cherish those days. Yeah. I've been in radio 50 years. It was as good as I've ever been a part of. And it was because of the cumulative effort that we all put forward. Every day I would say to the group, you know, sit down and think to yourself, how can I make the show better tomorrow? And every single one of us, including Jackie, kept coming up with ideas and shit. Because, I mean, you don't expect an intelligent thing to come out of her fucking mouth, but yet it did.
When we were calling you, Josh said, ringing.
So, yeah, so it was real quick.
It was the best. It was the like 10 months of bliss. To wake up at 3:30 in the morning and be anxious to get your ass to work.
It was barely a job. It really wasn't. It was like I'm gonna go hang out with my friends today and fuck around at work.
One of the other things I said to the group before we even started, I said I want those 3 hours from 6 until 9. I want it to become your favorite part of the day, and it was for every single one of us. And if you're unfamiliar, basically what happened, we worked for a wonderful company who basically left us alone. They didn't care about that. They just let us do what we did. And then we were purchased by a major corporation who was not interested in that kind of radio, and they began to...
Well, and the ratings tanked because of this company called Nielsen, who it used to be called Arbitron because it was completely arbitrary. and because we weren't doing anything different on one day versus the next, but somebody had a demographic birthday and somebody else timed out on a panel. We were doing the same show on one day that we were on the next, but because of that, there was a wobble in the ratings, and these people panicked because they've got a boardroom to answer to and started making decisions. Oh, we got to change this. Well, let's change that. Well, is there anything else we can change?
Right.
And it just blew it apart. And once you start getting too many cooks in the kitchen, then it's absolutely not going to end up with any kind of food you want to eat.
Well, you know, as great, because we just described how great it was at the beginning, and it was. And then we went from that into the misery of watching it be taken apart right in front of our very eyes. And then for me, it was over. And frankly, I was glad to get out of it because of the meddling on the show. I was no longer happy. They took Andy away and stuck him off in the afternoon. And it just, you know, it's one of the greatest and one of the saddest moments all rolled into one memory. So, but I'm still glad that I got that short 8 to 10 months of bliss, because I'm telling you guys, and I've been involved in some great radio. It was as good as I've ever been a part of, and I'm still to this day proud of it.
It's like a heroin trip. It feels really good for a little while, but then you got to come down.
Yeah, exactly it. Josh, how are the kids and your wife?
Oh, they're great. Everybody's doing great. You know, just staying busy doing soccer. Soccer was canceled today because of the
wildfires,
the air quality. But you know,
he's
a 6-year-old bouncing off the wall, won't get his hair cut.
You know, I have to tell you, because this was every year. We lived up in Santa Clarita at the base of the Los Angeles Mountains, and every single year Linda and I would stand in the driveway and look at the flames that were maybe 100 yards away. Every year it was that. So my heart goes out to everybody who's dealing with that. I've stood in those Santa Ana winds, 50, 60, 70 mile per hour gusts, and then you add an out of control wildfire, you can't contain that. So Linda and I have been watching it as closely as we can, and even my own kids, they live in Burbank, they had to pack a bag because they were ready to be evacuated.
The Griffith Park fire?
Yeah,
is that
there's
what it's
one
called?
Over there too. Yeah, it's all over the place, and the winds. You know, you couple that shit, and you get firestorms. And this is the first time it's been in a long time that it's been coming right for such a densely populated area. So it's been really really scary down here. But switching gears to something a little bit less sad, but. A travesty, nonetheless.
It is.
I did something, Mark, that I want you to write this number down. We've created a Your Artificial Friends telephone line, the YAF line, and I put out the number correctly, 626-657-6428. You can call that 24/7, anytime you want, and leave whatever message you want. And know that we may use it, we may ignore it, we may ridicule it, all those things. But 626-657-6428, I gave that out correctly.
Uh-huh.
I'll play back the message a little bit later, perhaps, where someone informs me of this. But I was under the impression that that spelled something.
Uh-huh.
And what it spelled, Mark, was, I thought, O, the letter O, O anal PM hat. Not particularly instructive, but it was, you know, it stuck with you. So somebody said, you know that doesn't spell shit, right? Doesn't spell what you think it spells.
What's it spell?
Well, not that.
Oh, so we've been giving her out the wrong...
We've been giving out the wrong mnemonic device. It's the correct number,
is anal still in there?
No.
Oh, forget it. I mean, get rid of the number.
No, it can't.
Don't call on it.
Well, I mean, I guess it could be, because here's what I came up with.
All right.
It can spell this. O, the letter O, or the, you know, just the word O. O, cool, S-M hat. No. Like sadomasochism? No. Oh, cool S-M
number.
Hat.
Nope, just get a new number. Get a new number with anal in it.
Yeah, I think your message of what it spells is complete garbage. I would abandon the entire project.
But we'll get to some of those calls a little bit later. But I just wanted to let you know while you're on the phone, Mark, you're more than welcome to check in at your leisure.
Mark, while we got you on the phone, I'm actually really excited that we got you on the phone, because this was brought up a couple months ago, and Andy just kind of glossed over it, and somebody brought it to my attention again through email this week.
What?
Andy has never been asked the desert question.
Oh, fuck those!
Somebody had asked if Andy would do the desert questions, and he was like, no.
I started
to think maybe we should do it, but then I was like, that's a Mark thing. Let's just pick this scab.
I would
get it over
you,
with, and then we can. You, everybody will be happy, and
I
we can start
you
the holidays.
My favorite candy bar for all the tea in China at this point.
So, Mark, will you just ask him the desert questions, please?
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Will.
Thank
now
you.
I'm not in my studio. I tried to call Andy from my studio so that I could have access to. So pretend that there is a wonderful bit of Hawaiian music that's floating under us as we speak.
We'll do post-production.
Do you want me to add that in post?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
That right. would be great. All okay. Right, so, Andy, cue the music.
All right, here you go.
So, Andrew, you are going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic Hawaiian island.
It's happening, Andy.
Now, for the rest of your life, you can take one kind of candy bar. Andrew, what will that candy bar be?
I just want to live in this moment for a second, because I've wanted this for years. I didn't know how much until now.
He likes me. He really likes me.
Oh, basking in the glow of Mark's love.
How did Sally Field get in here?
It's going to be a score. S-S-K-O-R, the toffee covered with
old
chocolate.
Yeah. Old people food. That's old people
with
food.
A cup of coffee. Yeah, it's going to be a score.
Now, I will say, usually we're going to get a Snickers or a Butterfinger, and rarely have I ever heard score. However, I will concur. There is something about that taffy thing under the chocolate that sticks to your teeth, and you have to put your thumb in your mouth and pry it up off your molar. And so I love that answer.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a dentist friend.
All right, so Andrew, you're on the island. And
do you have these memorized?
Well, I mean, I've done it so many times. How could I ever forget it? All right, so Andrew, you're on the island, and you're going to be able to eat only one kind of food. Any food that you want that you're going to eat for the rest of your life, what will that food be?
Hominy. No. I don't want to be predictable, but it's just the greatest food ever.
Meat.
You got to have pizza. It's pizza.
No, really?
Well, I mean,
it's bread and cheese and maybe meat.
But after like 4 days, you're going to be... But you only get to pick one topping. No, this is one food. You can't be like switching it up every time.
Well, he hit a universal answer that we get a lot, and I concur. There is a restaurant here called Bricks, and they have a buffalo chicken pizza with the chicken is actually buffalo mozzarella with barbecue sauce all over it and chunks of celery in it. I don't even eat it. I just put it into my butt and allow it to remain there.
I'll tell you what. It's so great. You know what, Josh, to your point, I will take Baroni's cheese pizza for the rest of my life. I could dig that for the rest of my life.
Really?
It's so good.
What about a steak?
Yeah. Well, then I'd never shit again.
Yeah, but you're going to be nonstop shitting if you're eating pizza every day. You're going to get dehydrated.
These aren't your questions.
All
right, yeah.
Andrew, sorry. You are sitting there and you're enjoying your pizza and your score. And you're going to want to enjoy the proper music. So you can take one album, and it cannot be a greatest hits. Too many people try to get that in. It has to be 12 tracks, 10 tracks of something that you absolutely adore. What will that one album be?
I know.
Well, if it's only one album for the rest of my life...
Are you juggling two?
Well, no, here's the thing. I mean, I've got a lot of favorite artists, like Neil Young and so forth. But, you know, after a while, that'll make me want to kill myself.
Right.
I want something that's uplifting and joyous that I could sing along to,
you can tap your feet
and that's
while
multivaried. I would have to go with Electric Light Orchestra, Out of the Blue.
Ooh.
That's what I was going to
guess. A man after my own heart. I love Jeff Lynne, and we had Jeff live on the Mark and Brian program.
Did you really?
Promoting. Yeah. He was promoting the Zoom tour and the Zoom album.
I saw him on that tour over at CBS. Did you go?
Yes, I was in the room with you.
I was in the room with you enjoying Jeff Lynne. It was tremendous. And I've seen him on these last two tours. It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever.
Well, he came in with two acoustic guitars, a regular 6-string and a 12-string, and a keyboard. And he did Can't Get It Out of My Head.
Fuck.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
He did two or three, and it was pretty mad. I mean, I had the joy throughout those many years because, you know, when you're number one or number two, you get the big artists because you've got the ratings and they want to promote whatever they want. So I had a chance to sit and watch people like Jeff Lynne perform 3 feet in front of me. Lionel Richie was another. He was tremendous and crazy funny. But I can think of tons. Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham came in and did a live version of Landslide. And I had a chance to watch all of that. And it was never taken lightly. I knew how special it was at the moment. So I sat and I soaked it all in for those many, many years. So Jeff Lynne all day, any day, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, if it's got to be for eternity, it's got to be something like that so multivaried.
Okay, so you've had your pizza and your score. You've enjoyed Jeff Lynne. So now you're going to settle into a movie. And you can take any movie that you want that you will watch for the rest of your life. Andrew, which film will that be?
Shit.
Tootsie.
I don't know that movie.
I guess it's going to have to be... the second Godfather Part 2.
Oh, because, sure.
Because it's like two movies in one. Right. Well, and this is the story when I first met Mark and go out to lunch with him, like when he's, you know, thinking about trying to come back to radio and, you know, starting at the sound and all this stuff. And I meet him at a hotel in Beverly Hills. And he asked me that question just out of the blue. He did ask me one of the Desert Island questions.
He thought that was enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, you only get one.
He said, what's your favorite movie? And I said, it's got to be Godfather Part 2. And he's like, oh, Fredo, I knew it was you. No, he said, he goes, Frodo, I knew it was you all along. I'm like, what did you just say?
Froyo.
That's Frodo, the Lord of the Godfather. That's the best thing ever.
Well, I will tell you, Al Pacino is one of those kind of actors who, even though I know he's acting, he has the capability of really honestly frightening me. That scene when his wife told him that she was pregnant with his son and she aborted it.
Uh-huh.
He frightened. He scared. He was so great in that moment.
Oh, you're sure she's going to be an ink spot? You know?
I mean, to build that kind of electric dramatic into a scene in a film, it's almost impossible to do. Yet in that moment, they did it. And so, okay, good. So Godfather. All right, Andrew.
Yeah.
Now, as you're about to drift off to sleep on your island, you're going to want to have some really good conversation. And you want somebody that can have and inspire that great conversation. Somebody for you to talk to. It can be dead or alive. They, of course, will be alive for you on the island. So who, Andrew, is it that you want to talk to?
It would either be Benjamin Franklin or Leonardo da Vinci.
I'm going to need your answer. And please know that Benjamin Franklin was an ass man, so that's good to keep in mind.
I'm going
to
get buggered by either one.
That's why he's asking. That's why he's bringing him along.
That's clear. I guess Benjamin Franklin. Because I think he'd drink more.
Yeah, he'd be more of a he'd have a couple raunchy jokes.
He'd get shitty drunk and tell you the real story.
Yeah, and then in the morning he could like build these coconuts or like a radio or something
like
that.
He'd tell you about the time he took Washington's teeth and put them on his cock.
Okay, so after Benjamin Franklin had frightened you with all the truth that he shared and the fact that he's now passed out drunk, you're going to want to try to get to sleep. And one of the best ways to get to sleep is to have a really, really wonderful orgasm. Andrew, dead or alive, it can't be your significant other. Someone to have sex with, who are you taking?
Benjamin Franklin. oh man, who is my
who's hall pass?
Who's my hall pass now?
It could be dead too. So
I
whole existence of females. You have one to live on an island with and do as you please.
And would they be dead when I had sex with them?
If that's what
you
want,
it's your call.
It's my thing. Who is great now? I like that. From Homeland and what's that? That science fiction. Firefly.
Is it Claire
Danes? No, her name was. Marina Bacali.
I don't know who that is.
She's married to Benjamin. What's his ass? Who played in that cop TV show? Anyway, she's hot. Her or Charlotte Johansson?
You got one.
Scarlett Johansson or who else?
Betty White.
Gal Gadot.
Huh?
Oh, Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot. Oh,
I'm going Gal Gadot.
Good call. You pulled that one.
That
was a great scrape at the end. You were like, yep, this is it. This is the one.
It's Gal Gadot,
And Marge shot.
Yeah, that's
and you gotta pick,
that's a fine choice.
You gotta pick somebody like that too. You can't say, well, there's this one woman that works with my wife.
Yeah.
Who
It's got to be a real. It's got to be. Yeah,
that gets you into trouble.
You can't be like Tina Starbucks.
Josh, yes. I'll give you a memory that you weren't there for. So every morning that we were doing Mark of the Morning, I was here in my studio in North Carolina, and I've got these giant screens up where I could see Andy on the screen. I could see Gina on the other one, which helped a lot because when you're talking to them, you want to see what their reactions are. And in the studio at the Sound, KSWD, there's a giant television that was on, and Andy had it tuned to the local news. He was listening to it, but he could see it. And there was a weather girl on the television, and I'm now going to do my impression of Andy every single morning. I would hear this. We're in a commercial break, and we're playing a record. And here's what I would hear every day. Holly Hanula, I could lick your makeup off.
You know what's sad? I know exactly what you're talking about. I've lived through this before, too.
Heavens.
He'd be like 5 seconds. He'd be staring, still staring at the screen. Little thing of drool would be hanging off his lip.
Oh heavens! Hey, you know, Mark, I was thinking about something. Well, now that your occupation, if somebody crosses you on the street and they ask you for your business card, your occupation says
actor.
Oh,
well, I just brought this up. As long as we're asking questions of people, mm-hmm. you're an actor. Maybe we should do James Lipton's
yes.
actors studio yes. questions. Excuse me. These are the questions prepared by Bernard Pivot in Bouillon de Couture. This battery of questions will answer a number of things. All right, so I got the questions that James Lipton used to ask people in actor studio. Are you prepared?
I am prepared.
All right. There are 10 questions.
They're real. They're on paper.
10 written. Questions. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word, anybody who knows me knows that I am a vile, disgusting pig. And
there's the sound bite.
I take cussing as a part of me, as an extension, as another arm or another leg. And it's not just to cuss, but there has to be a certain inflection on the word. And I realize the word that I'm going to choose is common because everybody does it. But I'm going to say the word in the way that I think it should be delivered. And my favorite word would be fuck.
I look at swearing as a craft. And I look yep. at you as Bob Ross. You are an yeah. artist.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That is a huge compliment for me.
Little tiny trees. Yeah, you have that. I can't remember who did it. The actor who did the 2-minute eulogy to the word fuck.
About, yeah. Oh, that is so great.
It's awesome. It's awesome. All right. Question number two. Mm-hmm. What is your least favorite word?
I guess because of not only what it is, but because it has a foul stench on it, and I've never appreciated the word. If ever, for example, I'm horny and don't want to be, I'll say this word.
Can I guess?
And the word is smegma.
I was going to guess gunch.
Mark, another great thing to do is if you know you're getting a little, it's getting a little tight down there, and you don't want to be like you're walking into church or something. This is what I do. Just go close your eyes and start going, Grandma pooping, Grandma pooping, Grandma pooping, and that thing will just deflate in seconds.
Grandma pooping. Okay, question number three. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Well, then I'm going to have to get serious. So being a creative person is, for those of you that aren't, being creative...
Are you talking to us?
being creative is kind of a curse in that you have to do it. You don't have a choice. And it can be anything. For me, it can be sitting down in a radio chair and presenting something that I worked on for a week and it comes off perfectly. It's like an orgasm. It can be drawing. I sketch a lot. It can be writing. I write quite a bit. And so that turns me on when I'm working on something, and part of my personality is that I work on something too much. I take it to the extreme because I want it. I don't believe in perfection, but I believe in taking the time that you've got and making it as good as it can possibly be. So when I do create something and it hits and it works, I'll give you an example. I wrote a story. And it was a true story of something that I dealt with as a kid. And it was about 9 pages, and it was based at Thanksgiving. And I only did it because I needed to create something. And then I send it off to a very few dear friends. And it basically was a story, a true story, about the fact that my father and I just did not see eye to eye, never did. And I sent it to Dana Delaney, the actor. And she immediately emailed me, and she said, because of what you wrote, I called my mother, who I've not spoken to in 15 years. And I can't tell you what a moving moment that was for me. So my answer is that, to create and bring forth something that worked, that changes somebody or gives them a reaction. That's my answer.
That's great. I like that. I didn't know you drew.
Oh, yeah. I'll draw pretty much anything.
But it's mostly Cam Newton nudes.
but it is women. It is the woman. It is the female body that I draw over and over and over again.
Skeeter, she's just a model. I'm just drawing her.
Wearing a Panthers helmet.
Oh, now you're getting hot.
Panthers girl. Hey, question number four.
Mm-hmm.
What turns you off?
Somebody who is just in a bad, bitchy mood, who is negative and does that all the time. They're just always that way. I've never understood it. We've all heard the stories, you're on a set, a movie set, and there's some diva who won't come out of her trailer because the lighting's not right or the coffee guy didn't say hello to her this morning or whatever the case is. It's that. It's just bitchy, negative, nasty people.
Well, we already answered number five. What is your favorite curse word? Moving on.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to know what's your favorite runner-up curse word. What's the secondary curse word that you like?
Well, the F-bomb? I would have to go here, and it's because it's so unacceptable. People normally don't say it.
Is it the one I think it is?
Well, probably.
See you next Tuesday.
Is he dropping the C word?
Yeah, it would be cunt.
I love that movie.
All right. Question number six. What sound or noise do you love?
Sound? Well, I'll just go with this because it's true. I did, along with the Mark and Linda podcast, I had an idea of a podcast with just myself and my daughters. And it was called Daddy Versus Daughters, and it really kind of turned into that. And I would try to find content that I thought that they would enjoy, Amy and Katie, Kardashians, whatever it was. And sure. And that kind of became what the show was. My daughter Amy has a laugh that is like none other. It is that kind of laugh that as soon as she starts it, it's uncontrollable laughter, and it's the kind of laughter that you can't help but laugh with her, and you will get the kind of laugh where you have tears rolling down your face. So my answer is when Amy cracks up uncontrollably and fills the room with that giggle she's got.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Number seven, what sound or noise do you hate?
Only because I had to hear it every day for right at 35 years. I had an alarm clock that would go off at 4:30 in the morning. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that has eight alarm clocks and I keep hitting snooze and they're all set at different times. I had this alarm clock, and it was, and I'll do it for you. It was this. And the alarm clock was given to me by NBC when we did The Adventures of Mark and Brian.
Right.
And I took it and I placed it across the room so that I had to get out of bed, turn the alarm clock off, and then go straight to the shower so I could wake up and get to work. So And true story, we had this huge ravine on Placerita Canyon, which is the road that I took to get to the freeway to get to work. On my very last morning of going to KLOS for my last day, August 12th, 2012, I pulled my car over. I got out, and this alarm clock was about the size of a double silver dollar. It had a nice rim around it, so like I'm putting my index and middle finger on a baseball, I wrapped it around that alarm clock, and I flung it as far as it can be flung. So that's that particular alarm clock, because I heard it every single day.
You know what you should have done is had set the alarm so it was going off when you threw it, so all you heard was...
That would have been great.
Never again.
I wasn't that smart.
Poor fucking woodchuck is out there now at every morning at 4:30. Okay, question number 8. Mm-hmm. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, is it fair to say acting? Because I guess I'm already doing that, but...
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you have to choose something entirely different.
Something you've never done.
Something you have not done for a living. Something you've never been paid to do. And don't say gigolo, because we know better.
You know, I don't know that I would like it, because I've never done it. But I, as I mentioned, I'm a creative person. I like to do that. And I do enjoy cooking. So I'm going to go ahead and just say chef.
Yeah, good call. That's what I expected you to say. What profession would you not like to do?
Garbage collection. They do it because they have to. They need the money. But think about it.
Yeah.
Every day, you have to get up and pick up other people's garbage.
Yeah, and then,
I can't imagine it.
And then when you get there, and the homeless guy has already ripped through the bags and everything, and it's just, yeah. Have you ever like driven behind a garbage truck? Is there a more foul smelling thing? I've been in pig stables, and pig shit is one of the most disgusting things in the world. And I might battle the smell of a
garbage scowl
of a mid-August garbage truck in Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah, I can't. I just can't imagine it.
Finally, the 10th and final question.
Mm-hmm.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You wore that yesterday.
Here's your alarm clock back.
It's beautiful to think that that's as good as it gets for Mark in the afterlife. Rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Oh, there you go, Mark Top. You're an actor.
Yes. Well, you know, I'll tell this story and then I'll make one recommendation and then I'll get out. As an actor, I was able to secure. I did a movie in Cleveland called The Assassin's Code, and it went pretty well. And I cut together. I didn't do it. I hired an editor to cut together a demo reel of some of the scenes that I was in, and that represented me. And the casting director for The Assassin's Code called me because David, the director, just simply gave me the part. I didn't have to go to the casting director. His name is Mark Tillman. He said, "When did you start acting again?" Because I met Mark in the 90s in L.A. when I was still doing radio and I couldn't do any acting. And he said, "Are you acting again?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of fired up. I did this movie, which was a gift, and, you know, I'd like to continue." He said, "Well, you need to get representation in Atlanta." And because he reached out to this wonderful woman called Christy Clark, who, based on what she saw on the demo reel, she took me on as one of her clients. And she said, "I haven't added a client in forever. I can't remember, but I really like what you're doing." And so Christy will send me these auditions. and it's called self-taping. You don't have to go in anymore. It used to be you had to go in the room and do the audition live in front of five or six people, and you get it or you don't. Now you just self-tape, and then you upload it to the website that they've asked you, and you answer
have,
whatever.
You have Skeeter read to you, right? Read you the lines, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a room with lights and a camera and a tripod, and she reads the other side, and I'm standing in front of the camera, and I'm doing my part. And I've booked 4 or 5 jobs where I go to Atlanta. Atlanta, by the way, is the number one shooting hub in the world. All the Marvel movies are made there, The Walking Dead. Everything is made in Atlanta. And so I got this audition for a wonderful part. I can't tell you the show, but it's a popular show. It's a big show. And I got it.
Awesome.
And it was going to shoot in Atlanta the next week, and the concern was because I had to be in L.A. no later than Friday because my daughter's wedding was that weekend, so Friday night is the rehearsal dinner, and then the wedding is on Saturday. So, you know, they offered the part, and I said, I can take it as long as I can get out of Atlanta on Thursday. And they said, that's fine. You're going to work on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you'll be wrapped, and you can fly to L.A. Great. And this was going to be the biggest job I had had yet. It was a wonderful scene, and I couldn't wait to do it, and I'm excited. So then the wardrobe lady, that's the first phone call you get, is the wardrobe lady. She needs all your sizes so she can begin to put together your wardrobe, and I'm on the phone with her. And this was, you'll remember, this was when Hurricane Florence was out in the Atlantic, and we're waiting for it to hit. And the wardrobe lady was the one who told me, okay, I know you're scheduled to shoot Tuesday and Wednesday, but we've been pushed to Thursday because of the hurricane. I had to fall out of that job that would have been the biggest and best job I had gotten yet. So, it was really, really painful because there are thousands of guys who audition for these parts, and to be given a call back or to get the job is a miracle to begin with, but the pain to have to fall out of one was, especially a big one like that, I'm not over it yet.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, you can skip the wedding.
Thanks, Amy.
Trust me, I would have if I could have.
You could FaceTime it, maybe just put an iPad on a chair in the front row.
The recommendation that I have for those of you that are into it, I love horror films. I love, Twilight Zone and Alfred Hitchcock. I love all of those. I love that. There is a show, you probably heard about it. It's on Netflix, and it's called The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about it.
Yep.
I couldn't recommend it more highly. Season 1 is 10 episodes, and after I hang up with you, I'm going to go to my theater and watch number 10, the very last one. And I'm still not sure whether they're going to come back for season 2, but it has been some of the best writing, some of the best acting. I'm not, because I'm a fan of horror, I'm not one that succumbs to a jump scare where it makes you jump out of your chair. Mm-hmm. I had a moment yesterday where I came out of my chair. So, while I'm recommending this thing is not for the queasy. It is television at its very finest. Netflix has become one of the kings of entertainment. They make so much money, and they pour the money into these productions, and they brought in some of the finest actors, the directors, the writers. It's tremendous. Now, I will tell you one thing that's a little bit odd. Do you remember the kid who starred in the movie E.T.?
Played Elliot.
His name is Henry Thomas.
Henry Thomas, right.
And I guess the best way to say this, Henry plays Mr. Crane, who's the head of the household. Because Henry was a kid, now he's a grown man, and I can't help but just say how it makes me... He looks really odd. And I think it kind of adds to the show, but I recommend it highly, especially if you like creepy stuff. The Haunting of Hill House. I couldn't recommend it more highly.
All right.
We'll go check it out. Mark, I love you like a brother.
Boys, You know, as we said at the top of the show, I could not have enjoyed our association more. I consider you both to be dear, dear friends, and that's kind of it. I'm just honored to be a part of that moment that we had together. We couldn't have done it better than we did. Sad the way it ended, but as Andy said, I asked Andy the other day when he texted me about doing this, and I said, "How are you?" And he said, "I'm crawling through it." Yeah. We all are.
Yep.
We're hanging on the best we can, and we're crawling through it. So, right.
Hey,
thank
man,
you for having
I
me
wanna
on
tell
today.
You I miss the crap out of you. I do.
Well, thank you.
I miss seeing your ugly mug on that screen every day, and then once every couple months you walk around the hall with no shoes on and like some homeless guy walking. Who's that? Oh, that's Mark. He's here this week.
You know, that's his way.
I miss seeing you. I miss hanging out with you. I miss talking with you. And that was an amazing and great chapter of my life. And I consider myself lucky to have been through it.
And by the way, it's I think somewhat mutual because he won't say it to your face, but he said to me 6 months ago, he's like, I want to do the podcast, but I want to do it when Josh is around. couldn't give two shits about me, but wanted to hang out with you.
And so we're going to do it because the last time I was there was obviously for Amy's wedding, and we were slammed with shit every single day. So
when are you coming out again?
It's undetermined at this point because the kids are coming here for Thanksgiving and then again on New Year's. And then Linda and I get Christmas by ourselves, which the first time we did it, we were dreading it, and then we did it, and it wound up being one of the greatest Christmases ever. It was tremendous.
Hey, you know what? Another thing I want to tell you real quick is your daughter, Katie, is my son's, like, best friend in the world. That she comes over to our house every once in a while, and we have family game night pizza party. And we just sit on the floor and play board games and then eat pizza. And those two, they just love each other. So
that's awesome.
Well, you know, I can only imagine when I first agreed to do Mark in the Morning, and I wanted somebody who could go out and report from the street so that, you know, because I never liked it when Mark and Brian left the studio and went out because we're kind of stuck out there. You know, you're doing what you're doing, but then you got to travel back and it's bad radio. So I wanted some, and I can only imagine what the management must have thought when I told them I want my daughter Katie to be chick on the street. But I knew what she could do because she has that personality.
Right.
And your son is getting a chance to get to, she's just, Katie will light up any room that she walks into.
Oh yeah.
And that's just who she is and how she is. And she still does. It doesn't matter what's going on in her life, whether it's negative or positive. She just has this bright light about her. And that's just who she is. So tell your son he chose well.
Here's what we do next time. Maybe you come into the studio with Josh and me and Sam and Larry, if they're in town, and we get Katie to go out somewhere and call in on the phone. And I got an example. Here's an idea for a place. Josh has already told us about a place in North Hollywood where you can go and pay money to throw hatchets.
Axes. And they're getting,
oh, wow.
And they're getting a liquor license.
Hey, I think that's a great idea.
Love you, buddy.
All right, man.
I love you both. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The radio god spending like a good 45 minutes
easily
talking to us.
That was awesome. That was fun.
That was great. Do we have time for another beer?
Break it open because I've got to go through a couple of these...
face bags? Well, this is the one...
If you have face bag, pull it up because... Let me see. Oh, here. Here we go. This is from the 208 area code. Where the hell is that?
208? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right. Here we go. Why would I know? Ready?
Hey, Andy. I guess nobody pointed it out yet, but unless you're spelling anal, A-N-O-L... your phone number doesn't actually spell what you think it spells. Now, it might spell O amok PM hat or O book PM hat, but A N A L does not come from.
Oh my God, it does! O amok! O amok!
Are we switching to amok now?
I still love the show. You guys are awesome. Thanks.
O amok!
This is Jared from Anaheim. Bye.
Thank you, Jerry. Was it Jared? Jared from Jared. Manhattan. Oh, no, a muck PM hat? What do you think?
It's no,
run amok.
It's no anal.
A PM hat, but it's run amok. But, amok is a great word. A-M-O-K?
Amok. All right, let's let it simmer. I like it.
Wait, what other ideas did he have there at the end?
Let's put a pin in it.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
Hold on.
Amok.
I'm from 626657. Anyway. Keep up the great work. I still an A-S-P-M hat, but O-A-M-O-K P-M is spelled. Now, it might spell O-A-M-O-K P-M hat or O-Book P-M hat, but A-N-A-L does not come from 626657. Anyway, keep up the great work. I still love the show.
I love it. Thank you, guys are awesome. Jared. Thanks for setting me straight.
He so, did the letter math.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
So 626-657-6428. You can call it anytime. O-A-M-O-K PM hat.
We had one. I can't pull it up on my phone, but somebody sent us a message on the Facebook page that said we should do, and it was a great idea, is we should do one of these, because we have beer episodes, right?
Yeah.
Let's do a barbecue episode.
How about a beer-becue episode?
What? I'm a loss for words.
Beer and barbecue.
Yeah, beer-becue. I know.
Did I just coin a phrase?
No, somebody's had to say beer-becue.
Beer-becue?
Speaking of beer-becue, here.
Oh, wait, what do you
got? This is the one. I don't know what this is. There's not one thing on here that I can read.
Let me see.
I don't even think those are actual letters.
This is... is that
Russian?
It's Russian or Yugoslavian.
I don't know.
Don't
There's got to be some English on it, right? Sold the
don't
United
States. No.
Can't be legal to sell without
it. It's a lager. Hey, that Samuel Smith's Winter Ale was great.
Let's call this the $3 beer.
Oh, that smells like a skunk's ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. Looking forward to that.
There you go. Drink some skunk juice. But sometimes those are wonderful.
It's got a Heineken-y smell, yeah, Heineken-y. Which is Heineken-y.
It's a skunk Heine.
So they said we should do, we'll look it up. I forget his name. I only got like 5% of my phone. But thank you for writing it. So,
do you need some juice?
No, don't worry about it.
All right. This is Mike up in Northern California. He says,
did you try this yet? Try it.
I bet it's nice.
Try it. I don't know how I feel about it.
Like a Grolsch or something. It kind of smells like. Oh, I quite like that. I could drink that. You know what this would be good with? With like a sausage or something like that. I like it. Wish we could direct you to it, but
I'm still confused whether I like.
Will
this
you
or
take
not.
A picture of this?
Yes. No.
And
I only got 5%. But seriously, this is really light.
Yeah, it is. It's like only like 5%
there's like nothing.
Alcohol.
There's like nothing to it. Yeah, so that's why I'm not sure. Is this a near beer? Is this one of those? Maybe a Russian near
it's
beer?
It's an actual beer, but it's not.
There's
it's not
probably never been a Russian near beer, has there? that just never exists.
I doubt it. All right, should we hear what Mike in Northern California says? I have not listened to this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, should we listen? Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Mike up in Northern California. Hey, I had a question. Do you guys like chocolate covered penis or plain penis? Just wondering. It's on my mind. Okay, take care.
Wait a
Talk
minute.
To you later.
Is he implying chocolate covered penis as being like post anal penis?
He did not say peanuts.
No, penis.
Peanuts. He said penis. Let me see.
Hey guys, this is Mike up in Northern California. Hey, I had a question. Do you guys like chocolate covered penis or plain penis? Just wondering. It's on my mind. Okay. Take care. Talk to you later.
I'm a traditionalist. I like plain all the way, right? That's what you got to do.
If I'm going to have penis, it's going to have chocolate on it.
I don't know. I don't know where that chocolate's been.
At least I can pretend that's chocolate.
You just
got penis?
Just give me the straight.
It's straight on penis. And this is only 5 seconds long, so I don't know if this is
I hope
anything.
Or, somebody making a fart noise.
Yeah, let's see.
Ha ha.
And that was the last thing I heard before I got stabbed in the neck.
That's the best one, yeah. Right there.
All right.
What a fun time.
Yeah, it was good. How is there? Did we leave anything out?
Probably.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll save it for next time.
But
you know what? I want to congratulate us so on a milestone.
In. What's the milestone?
I think we went shed free. An entire episode shed free.
Right after this. And I'm going out to work on my show.
And no close. Health talk. No illness.
Shed or health.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
I'm going out there to work in this shitty air quality. So maybe both.
I might not have a job on Monday.
No. Oh, God, it's going to burn.
Yeah. I didn't go to work on Friday. I couldn't. It was right. Our office is literally, I could take a football, throw it out the window, and it'll land on the 101 South.
Wow. And did they evacuate
it's in between Canaan and Chesbro. So it's right in that. I mean, I doubt it's. I don't know, though. Who knows? They said there was like. I don't know. I have no idea.
And
you can't get in there. Nobody can get in there. So I don't know what. So God bless all those people out there dealing with all this.
Yeah, and the firefighters and everything.
Yeah, thank
you guys. That's horrible. And I hope that you and so many other people are able to go back to their jobs, to their homes. And,
you know what? For what other people are going through, that's the least. I'll take that any day of the week. For you know, some people have it much worse than us right now. So let's just be good people. For a while.
Yeah.
Stop burning shit and shooting people.
When
the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end.
Where did you screw up last time?
Tune into this podcast.
What was the word you said?
We're your artificial friends.
I said friendships.
Let's try it again with friendships.
When the
I'm not doing it. Go.
People that you know don't like you.
And then you said,
when your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Shit.